Last week, I shared a message, Making Christ More Real in Your Life. That was part one. And part two is today. We'll be reading the same scripture and talking about Jesus' interaction with the disciples, their questions, and his answers to them, which apply to us as well. So if you will look with me with verse 7 of John chapter 14. Here Jesus is talking about the oneness with the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I not been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? And then he calls out his name, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Now, have you seen where Jesus saying the works, the works that he does, the works that are that we need to be doing as well? All right. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works, there is again, that I do, he will do also and greater works. The works again. Then these he will do because I go to the Father. And here is the verse which says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I'll explain more about that in a few minutes. But whatever we ask, it is to bring glory to the Father. In verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, last Sunday, we talked about Philip's desires. And whatever Philip's personal reasons for asking Jesus to show me the Father, his questions show how much easier it is to ask for more proof than to act on what we already know. We do that sometimes because we're human, right? And we do that. But sometimes we expect God to satisfy our conditions before we will trust him. That often happens. Now, most of us will experience desires that will go probably unfulfilled in our lifetime. But otherwise, we are to keep praying. And God will either say yes, he will say no, he may say wait. But we keep praying. Now, we need to remember something. Who's in charge? God's in charge, isn't he? Talking with Rosalie this week there at the hospital, we covered a lot of areas, talking about Rand's conditions and talking about life itself and all the things going on in our lives and the physical things, the spiritual things, and the emotional things of life. And it all boils down, we both agreed, God's in charge no matter what. And that's good to know. He is in charge no matter what. And in Christ, God has given us all the resources we need to live, to love, and to serve him. And eventually, Christ will help us to understand why some of our desires go unmet. And in the meantime, we are to keep trusting him, we are to keep going on. Now, the desire of our heart should be to know God more. And we need to move from what I said last week, just to mere knowledge, our human knowledge, to heart knowledge. So, how can we see God in Christ? How can we see Him in Christ? And we can see Him through the words that He speaks. Now, in verse 10, when you hear the voice of Jesus, you hear the voice of the Father as well. You know, when I was a kid, I would go into my sister's room, and I'd say, "Boy, your room is a mess, and you need to clean it up." And she said, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" Then I would back up, and I said, "Well, that's what Dad said." You see, that had more powerful words, right? It wasn't very powerful for me just saying it, but when I said, "Dad said," or "Mother said, you need to clean it up," it had a different tone to it. And the disciple needs to realize about Jesus' words where He said, "The Father said." And in the scripture I read as well, it said, Jesus said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do." See, that's obedience. That is obedience. Now, we see Jesus speaking profound words when He was 12 years of age to the amazement spiritual leaders. Now, later as an adult, some of the soldiers, you know, they were sent to arrest Jesus. And they hid in the bushes listening to what He was saying. And then they went back to their bosses and said, "Never spake a man like this man." Even those that went to arrest Jesus understood He was different. The words that He spoke was not from man, but it was from someone much higher. And all those who listened was astonished at His words. So, put Jesus' words in anybody else's mouth, and they don't fit, do they? Jesus said, "I am meek, and I am lowly." Can you imagine Peter saying that? Can you imagine Peter saying, "I am meek, and I am lowly"? No. Thomas wouldn't never say that. Jesus' words are powerful because they're God's words. They're the Father's words. That's what makes them so powerful. So I've never seen God physically, but I've seen Jesus. And so I know what the Father looks like, sounds like, and what makes His character. Because the Bible says, we will be known by our works. Greater works will we do. Jesus told the disciples, "When I ascend to the Father." And I'll explain more about that in a few minutes as well. Jesus is God, spelling Himself out in the language that mankind can understand. So Jesus shows us the Father through His words, and of course, what the scripture says, through His works or through His deeds. So now, last week we talked about the meaningful request in verse 8 and also the master's reply in verse 9. This morning we want to look at the magnificent revelation in verse 12. And first of all, we see in verse 12 where it says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works then these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, here is the privilege of greater works. Can you really do greater works than Jesus? Can we? Not quality-wise, but we can in quantity. See, there's a difference. Quality-wise, we can't even measure up to what Christ did. But quantity-wise, that's what it means when Jesus says, you will do greater works. That means quantity, much more. Magnitude manifold more works. Now, recall you back in Acts chapter 1 where 3,000 were saved in one day, and millions of Christians today can go about giving the gospel or sharing the gospel. Where Jesus was just one person, he never left his hometown. And he did great works. And that's why the Bible says, you shall be my spokesmen, you know, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So greater works are we able to do because he has given us the command. He has given us the challenge and the privilege to do so. Now, let's look at the pathway of greater works. Because I want to spend some time on this greater works, because sometimes we have a tendency to forget what our responsibilities are, our purpose and God's will for our lives. That's why he told the disciples, you will do great things in my name. Now, he didn't say you're going to do great things in yourself, but great things in my name you will be able to do, because I go to the Father. I'm sending the Holy Spirit back to you, and he will work through you. And therefore, as you've heard me say this before, that God wants to work in and through our lives. He has to work through us, and he will do greater works when we do that. How can we get on track to do greater works? Because if we get involved in them, God will become more real to us. Do I need to say that again? If we get involved or get more involved, God will become more real to us. And that's what he was telling the disciples. I will be more real in you as you abide in me, and I will do great works to you. Now let's look at what prayer does. A while ago we came forward and we prayed. And everyone, if I would go to you individually this morning, and I don't even have to do that, and ask, do you believe in prayer? You would tell me, yes. Have you seen it work? Yes. Have you experienced it? Yes. Prayer is very vital to our church life. And we give very little to it. Now, don't get me wrong. We do pray. We pray here at church. We pray in our classes and so forth. We pray at home. But how much time do we give quality time to the Lord in prayer? Just not asking for ourselves, but saying, Lord, live your life through me. Let my life center around you. So, see, it's something that we need teaching on as the disciples ask. See, to ask the disciples, they spent a lot of time, and I'm sure that they heard Jesus praying. And they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, Lord. Teach us how to pray just like you. Help us to be humble just like you. Help us to be lowly and meek just like you. And we learn that through our communication to the Lord in prayer. That's how we are able to do it. None of us has arrived there yet. I haven't arrived there yet. We got to keep working on it. We got to keep doing these greater works in order for us to achieve and arrive there. We must be challenged. We must be reminded. And we must practice every day what we should be doing when it comes to our time with the Lord. So, does 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 mean? Can it ask anything, when it says, can you ask anything you want and you will receive it? And I've heard people ask me that. And I've heard people say, I've done that and it doesn't work. Well, what you're asking wrong. You've got your wrong motive in mind. There's a qualifier here. As Jesus said, whatever you ask, let the Father be glorified in it. Let's just read that verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. I like that word. The confidence that we have in Him. Who? In Christ. That we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know He hears us. Whatever He hears that we pray, and whatever we pray, we want to be in the center of God's will, and we want Him to be glorified in it. You see, that's how our prayers are answered. See, in the context, Jesus says this in conjunction with doing greater works. You see, He listens to us when we pray, and we ask that He show us how to do greater works. So if we get serious about greater or doing greater works, there will be many, many needs. And Jesus here promises that those needs will be met, so the work that we do will be accomplished, so the Father, according to the scripture here, Jesus said, He will be glorified in it. Now, there's the word obedience. And verse 15 said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And what does that word mean? Obedience. Obedience. See, you see, we have a bad habit of claiming promises out of our contacts, which may or may not apply to us, okay? In Philippians, here's another promise that Jesus gives us, or the Word gives us, that's handed down to the inspired Word of God. But my Father shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, that's a promise. So whatever we ask, He's going to supply those, all of our needs, according to His riches. And who has all the riches? He does. All, everything that we need. See, we love to quote it, but it's given in the context of faithful givers. Does it apply to you or me? Nowhere does the Bible make financial promises to the unfaithful, but it does say there's a curse upon those who know better and don't do it. Don't give. Don't serve. And Malachi chapter 3 tells us about that. And let's go on to verse 15. Talks about love. The love I quoted a while ago. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, we can apply the love motive to any commandments of God. And He gives us both in the Old Testament, and He gives it to us in the New Testament. But in context here, Jesus is saying, if you love me, you'll pray. If you love me, you'll give. If you love me, you'll serve. If you love me, you'll obey. If you love me, you're a witness. If you want to do greater works, and through it, you will come to know me and the Father more. You see, that's what the greater works are. Spells them out right there to us. And we will become more real. He will become more real in our life. Now, most Christians never take their relationship with Christ to this level. We think about it, we talk about it, but we very seldom ever take it to that kind of level in our relationship with the Father. Now, He wants us to, though. See, when Peter denied the Lord, cursing and swearing, it was simply the symptoms of being a guy whose motives for following the Lord needed to be deepened. And that's why Jesus spent so much time with them and analyzing them and letting them know that they needed to be closer. They needed to build a deeper relationship with him so that they would be able to do greater works when he was gone. See, he knew the Lord and he loved the Lord. See, Jesus saw him after his resurrection three times and asked if Peter, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times he asked Peter that. And of course he did. And he needed to love more deeply. Jesus saying, I know you love me, Peter, but you need to love me more deeply. You say it, you don't always show it in your actions, so you need to step up. Raise the level, the bar up, and love me deeper. We may say, I love Jesus, but there's a greater works to be done, a greater love to possess. You know, we pray, or you pray, yes, but the Lord teaches us to pray. These are greater works, prayer to be done. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And did the disciples say that? Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Help me with greater faith. And we need to give, but there's a greater work to be done. See, I feel like I obey God in many areas of my own life. But as I look at my greater chunk of my life, as I look at it, as I visualize my own self, opening up all the areas of inspection, there's room for a lot more of the word we saw up there a while ago, obedience. You know, you may serve, but there's a greater works which needs to be done. You will step up, and you and I can step up together, and we can do them. See, when you love somebody, think about it. I want you to think about this morning. When you love somebody, you love what they love. Is that right? When you love somebody, you love what they love. Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves lost souls. Jesus loves glorifying the Father. And he says, that's why he said, I don't do anything on my own initiative. I want him to be glorified in my life. And this is the purpose of greater works that Jesus is talking about right here. The purpose of greater works is what? As the scripture says, to glorify the Father. To glorify him. Glorifying God can be done through every detail of our life. It's not just something that we do when we sing, give, serve, or we pray. 1 Corinthians shines a light on this when it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, what are we supposed to do it in? Do it all in the glory of the Father. Our God. Now, in our conclusion, nothing brings God more glory than what? Helping others get saved. Because now there's a new child of God who can bring more glory like he deserves. Just like the glory that we give him. And when others get saved, they can also give glory to the Father. See, waiting to bring God's glory leads us to do greater works. And wanting to bring God's glory leads us to do greater works. And these things make God more real in our lives. See, these are the things that Jesus is talking about here, and for us, our greater works, the things that glorify Him in our lives, in our body. What a blessed, blessed scripture this is that tells us exactly. And when you're thinking about John chapter 14, and going back up to verse 1 where it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus was getting deep into their souls because He knew they was hurting. And He wanted them to get past that part in their lives where they was grieving and hurting because He was going to the Father. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. I want you to focus on much greater things right now because I'm preparing a place for you. But there's greater things for us to do. And while we're on this earth, and we need to be thinking about our serving and our loving and our caring and supporting and reaching lost people, lost souls for the Lord." See, those are the greater works. And we all overlook them in our lives because we're thinking about other things other than greater works. And for Jesus to say that, "I'm going to the Father, but you have greater things to do now," because He did great things. He was saying, "You're going to keep carrying these things out. You're going to keep working these things out." And He said, "You're not going to be by yourself because I'm going to be working through you through the power of the Holy Spirit." If we could only grasp that. That's why it's so important for us to realize that we're not on our own. Because God is with us. Nothing is impossible with Him. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is so real and alive, working in and through the church today. And the church makes up the people. And we, seated here today, are part of the family of God. And we thank You, Lord, that everyone that enters this place enters in on holy ground. It's not because of the building itself, but it's because of Your presence here. That's what makes the difference. And when You change our lives and you set us on a new course and you place the focus of the cross in front of us, that You died for our sins to give us eternal life. And our part is, as we are still here on this earth, is to be doing good works. Much more fruit is what John 15 tells us. The greater works can be done. Because You have commanded us to love one another and to keep Your commandments. And the commandments are greater works. Lord, make we accept that challenge. Because You give us the privilege, and it's an honor to serve You, Lord. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know You personally, they can. Because Your Holy Spirit is at work right here in this sanctuary. It's speaking to each one of us, maybe in a different way. But exactly the words that we need to hear from our hearts. We don't want just mere knowledge. We want heart knowledge. And You give us the heart knowledge of the Word of God, which is a seed planted through Your Word, that it might grow and become more productive and abundantly to give us life and joy. If anyone here today doesn't know You personally, Lord, they can. Anyone here today looking for a church home, Versailles Baptist Church welcomes anyone that wants to come in and serve You faithfully. Lord, this is Your invitation. We pray that we'll be open and sensitive and move upon Your voice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 441, "Take Time to Be Holy." All right, a good song to close with.